Microphone Johnson, without a doubt. I mean, I think that he's the funniest. He's a guy that everybody can relate to, and it's just a funny character.
Well, Microphone Johnson here, standing with Scotty Brooks. You aren't paying much attention to me, but I guess you are now. Appreciate you talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess, yeah, well, anyway. Mind if I ask you a few questions and put them on tape, play them for them hardliners?
I'd be delighted.
What do you, how tall are you, first of all?
About 5'10 and a half, 5'11 on good days.
All right. So you're, I guess I'd be under 6 foot, wouldn't it?
Just a tad.
So you out here for Mavericks?
I'm out here to play a little bit of basketball, hopefully. Hopefully a lot. Hopefully during the playoffs we'll be playing some more basketball.
What's it like, being around NBA players like a Jimmy Jackson or a Lundis Bryce or one of those fellas?
A Lundis Bryce!
It gets something to be around an NBA player. That means you have an NBA job if you can't beat the opportunity that we're given.
You, I don't want to ask you a personal question or anything. But,
well, don't ask that.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
All right, I'll steer away from that, but I don't want to offend anybody.
Ask me a personal question.
I'll ask you, how much money you make?
I make enough to make my family and myself very comfortable.
I don't want to get into how much I make, but I just started a business with my wife. I don't want to say what it is, but we're selling some products out of our home. And anyway, I make about 20. Is that good?
20 what?
20,000.
That's great.
That's with some compensation checks I got back in an accident. I don't want to tell you what it was, but I got hurt pretty bad. Anyway, anything you want to say about basketball for the sports fan people?
Well, come out and support us. We're going to have a great year, and hopefully we can advance in the playoffs and have a good year, and who knows what can happen once we get there.
Who y'all playing in the playoffs?
We just love to play there. It doesn't really concern us who we play. We'd love to be an opportunity to play someone in the playoffs.
Well, anyway, I hope I hadn't wasted your time. One more quick question. What do you... Well, I don't know. Anyway, I guess that's it. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
Stay hard.
All right. Pete Rose is good because, a lot of time, I don't think we've ever gone on that we didn't do some sort of homework for whoever's going to be on. Now, it may be brief, or we just scan over something. But I don't think I don't think we've ever gone on
college. No, we always go in there with some idea of where it's going to go.
But for the Pete Rose interview, we knew we were going to have him on for about a week and a half. And we did extensive research, especially Reiner. Reiner went to the library.
Well, now, understand, by then, we had really positioned ourselves on Pete Rose. I mean, we were very, very dug in on him. We'd talked about him a lot on the show. Talked about whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame on the show. Of course, Grego thinks he should. I think he shouldn't. Those positions were well-defined. They were well-defensed and still are on both sides. And when we found out that he was going to come on the show, we knew that there were some very difficult questions that were going to have to be asked. And this is all years after the fact, This is all years after the incident with him came down, where he was banned from baseball by the commissioner and all that. And there was just a lot of ground that we had to go back over and make sure that we had all our ducks in a row when we talked to him, because we were going to have to ask him those questions. And we were going to have to ask tough questions. That's what people wanted. That's what they expected out of us. And to approach it any other way would have really been wimping out. We couldn't do that.
Now, he accused us of not having our facts straight, because all we read was, basically the only document that was written about this, and that was an article in Sports Illustrated. And he said that was full of errors. But, that's him. And he also said he didn't bet on baseball.
The agreement was between me and the commissioner's office. He was the acting commissioner at the time.
What about the evidence that it is said the commissioner's office has that you did bet on baseball?
That's a good point, the way you said it. The evidence that they say they have. Well, I can tell you about that is the week that I signed the agreement, they wanted me to wait 20 years. then they went down to 10, then they went down to 2, then they went down to 1 in 2 days. They went from 20 years to 1 day, or 20 years to 1 year, before I could apply for reinstatement. Now, does it sound to you like they wanted to go to the court, which we were ready to go to the following Monday?
Pete, here's my take on this. I think you should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, no question about it. But the question that I have is, if you didn't do this, why would you sign a deal, you know, to where you're not denying it, but you're not confirming it? I mean,
it's very simple why I signed a deal, because if I go to court and prove I did and I get the same thing, there's no finding that I've been on baseball. The only difference is I don't drag baseball through another 2 months of court proceedings, and I save $500,000 in lawyer fees, and I get the same penalty based on what I admitted. It's very simple if you just analyze it and think it out. I was suspended because of what I admitted to in February of 89, but I wasn't suspended until August of 89. So regardless of what you prove, I'm still going to get suspended from baseball for the same length of time based on what the charge was.
Why do you think the commissioner's office made a deal with you?
Obviously, they didn't want to go to court because they knew they couldn't prove it. I mean, that's simple.
Okay. All right, very nice. Let's move along here.
I run into this all the time because it's not your fault, but you just don't understand the facts.
Well, All I know is what I've read.
That's not always 100% correct.
Okay.
See, what happened to most people in my situation is Bart Giamatti signed the agreement with me, then he set the agreement down, and he was asked the question, do you think he bet on baseball? And his personal conclusion was, upon reading the Dowd report, yes, I do. Well, I think I did upon reading the Dowd report, because it was a prosecutor's brief with a verdict on the end of it. It was a bunch of hogwash. Now, 3 days later, the gentleman dies. Now, everybody got caught up in his personal conclusion, and they threw the agreement aside and just made him a saint.
Now, what would have happened?
So everybody thinks what I did, the only reason they think that is because of what he said after he set the agreement down.
But now, in the Dowd report, there are statements from 9 people who said that you bet on baseball.
That's not true either. There are statements from 2 people, one named Peters and one named Jansen.
Now, but these are guys that you were hanging out with at the time, right?
And these are guys that had something to gain and everything to lose if they didn't plea bargain because they were in trouble with drugs.
Okay.
They both were sentenced to the prison terms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's what I'm talking about. See, Dowd just does little things like that, like 9 different guys, betting slips, phone records. He don't have any of that stuff, believe me when I tell you. And if he did, he'd come forward. He can say he's got anything.
Why do they say they do have that then?
Don't ask me that question. No one knows, because he knows never. No one will ever confront him. It's a closed issue.
Pete, it sounds as though that
his reputation's on the line.
You know, having Ernie Banks on—that's pretty cool. It's always neat when you have interviews with Hall of Famers.
And it's always neat when they come on and explain great fables like he did the day he was on.
Are you ready to play 2 today?
I'm ready to play 2 today.
We had 2 to play. That'd be great.
Well, we are going to have 2 to play. Now, think positive. We're going to do that.
I am. I'm trying to.
Ernie, do you remember saying that quote, let's play 2 today?
Yes. Started in 1969. It was about 102 degrees in Chicago, and we were playing just one game that day. And, you know, in the middle of the season, usually most of us who play baseball and basketball, whatever, we get kind of at the end. We get a little tired around that time. So I walked in the locker room. Everybody had to head down. Pepitone, Billy Williams, Sano, and there was a writer there named Jim Enright. Used to be with the Chicago American. When I walked in there, I said, boy, it's a beautiful day. Let's go for 2. And everybody looked at me like I was crazy. And he wrote it in the paper, so it stayed with me. And I really enjoy that. And wherever I go, people say, Ernie, let's play 2 today.
But you really meant it, though, didn't you, Ernie? It's not like that you were going there trying to be a wise guy. You really meant it because, I mean, you know, baseball was your passion.
That's right. I mean, it's really wonderful. I'm just not saying it for me, but... You know, people who enjoy what they're doing in life, I mean, it's not work, it's just real fun, and to me, baseball was that. It was just a lot of fun and enjoyment. I love being there with the fans and with with the players and, you know, competition and all that. And it was just great. I really enjoyed it.
I'm always real partial to Bill Lee.
Bill Lee was a good
one. I was there in 72, lockout in 76, big strike in 81, and which was probably the precursor to the last one that we had that really was more of a lockout than a strike, where they imposed a salary cap without bargaining. And it's a collective bargained agreement, and the owners didn't want a collective bargain because every time they do that, they get collective bargained to death by the judges. So they thought with this new conservative Congress, they'd be more sympathetic, and they're right. The fans are more sympathetic towards the owners, and it's a shame, you know, but that's the price for living in a capitalistic society, you know.
Is baseball in trouble, Bill?
The planet's in trouble. Baseball is just a symptom of all the other troubles, whether it be the drug problem, you know, people having to work two jobs just to make ends meet. These are symptoms of problems which caused me to run for president in 88 under the rhinoceros ticket and then again in 92, and now they want me to do it in 96. And I'm just a devotee of Buckminster Fuller, who was a mathematician from Southern Illinois. And I was a ball player. I was a labor organizer. I believe that, you know, ball players are now getting paid way too much. But that's a symptom of playing in a capitalistic society like we've got.
Now here is one for the books. We have Doc Ellis on with us, the famous pitcher. And this guy, Rhines, pitches a no-hitter on acid, LSD.
He was truly one of baseball's real characters.
How much involved were you into alcohol and drugs during your career?
That was 95% of my life at that particular time.
Wow. And it said, and I don't know if this is a rumor or not, it said that when you pitched your no-hitter that you were under the influence of LSD. Is that true?
Yes. It's nothing that I brag about. It's just something that happened. I spoke about it one time, and those who ask me how did I do that, I always know that they've been involved. Because at that particular time, that's when Dr. O'Leary had come out with LSD, and I was in position to get that type of stuff, and that's what I did. But I did not do it to pitch. Mm-hmm. I had lost a day. We flew into San Diego, and I asked Murtaugh could I go home, which was in L.A., mm-hmm. and I took it when I rented the car because I knew where it would hit me. And when I woke up, I thought it was the next day. It was 2 days later, so
and
I took some more.
And you had pitched a no-hitter, and you don't remember this?
No, I remember.
No, he was pitching that day.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was the day before.
Oh,
and I just went on and pitched anyway, you know, but...
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And
if we sit here and talk about it for an hour or two, I'll remember everything. You know, it's just that I don't talk about it all the time, but I do remember a lot about it.
And Ryan and I were basically too lazy to go down there. No, we had a Ranger game that night.
Yeah.
And so we asked you, we said, hey, go down there and take a Marantz with you, a recorder, and just do some goofy interviews. I mean, Charlie Sheen is going to be there, and you know, Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone. Just see what you can get. You know, not thinking that you're going to get anything.
Now, it takes a special kind to do that, too.
I mean,
we knew you were that kind.
I mean, you were probably like the only guy up here that could pull something like that off. I mean, I certainly don't think I could have pulled it off. I don't think Ryder could have. I don't think anybody else could. But, I mean, I didn't really expect... Did you expect him to get anything?
No, I didn't expect him to go, let alone get anything.
But then, not only did you go, and not only did you get stuff, you probably got the best stuff that's ever been played on our show. The Planet Hollywood is probably, if not the best, it's certainly in the top three.
Charlie Sheen is approaching me as we speak. I'll see if I can get a hold of him for a comment. Charlie, are you embarrassed about the Mighty Ducks movies?
I shouldn't be. I wasn't in them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong brother. Sorry. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let's see if I can squeeze one question in. Arnold!
Arnold!
Arnold! Let me ask you the question on everyone's mind. Where's Rosie Perez? Jimmy Johnson and Bruce Willis approaching simultaneously here. See if I can ask them a question. They appear to be shaking hands, confabbing on something. One could only wonder. Jimmy, Gordon Keith with a ticket. Jimmy and Bruce. Come here, Bruce. Come on. Bruce, real quick, Bruce. You're sitting there with Jimmy. Now, obviously, one of you can afford Rogaine, and the other one can't get out from under the stigma of Hudson House. You take that too kindly. Was that Troy? Troy, Gordon Keith of the Ticket. The Ticket, Troy. Do you plan on starting a trust fund for Babe Laufenberg, Gary Hogaboom, and Steve Ballore? Troy, you have to answer these questions. The media's here. You cannot dodge us. Anna Nicole Smith, the Guess Jeans model. Anna, come here, briefly. You look very beautiful tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, do you go to the same hairstylist as I do? How do I look tonight?
Oh, you look wonderful.
I'm sure everyone's interested in how I look. Thank you. Roseanne Arnold, formerly Roseanne Arnold. Roseanne, you shed more than a few pounds when you lost Tom. How do you feel about that?
The word was shed, by the way.
I just realized I need to quit yelling into the mic. That probably isn't necessary. Danny Glover is quickly approaching. Danny, one quick question for the Ticket, Sports Radio 1310. Do you know if Willard Scott's going to show up tonight?
Willard Scott?
Yeah.
Does the weather for NBC? I don't know.
Yeah, we're looking for the stars, Danny.
Okay, then. I don't know. Is Willard here?
Crazy Ray, do you plan on taking out Barry Sanders next training camp?
No.
Some dimmer stars have shown themselves. Joyce DeWitt approached me wearing a stunning evening gown. Jimmy Walker came up wearing a cheap leisure suit. And sadly enough, Conrad Bain was wheeled in on a stretcher. The cavalcade of stars continues here at the Planet Hollywood.
People think that's actually my cousin. They really do. They come up to me and they say, "Guy, it's kind of too bad that you have a white trash trailer living cousin like Elmer Wayne."
You mean to tell me you don't actually have a cousin like that?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, not even close.
Hey there, Hammy, you remember me?
Oh, this is Grego's cousin.
Oh, gosh.
It's your cousin, Elmer Wayne. I know you remember me because I was the one who taught you to tuck your thing between your legs and pretend you were a girl. I know you remember that.
Oh, gosh.
I just thought I'd call you to say happy 4th of July and hope your merrymaking is mighty fine and somewhat sober.
I thought we decided that he wasn't going to be able to come on anymore.
Well, I tell you what, old Elmer Wayne's about three sheets to the wind already.
Are you really? What have you been drinking already?
Well, I tell you what, I've been drinking the Falstaff and the Olympia Gold. They had to rush me to the hospital. Actually, they had to rush me to see old Doc Morgan over there in Monteith County last night. It appears I blew off a few more fingers in a firecracker accident.
You did? Have you been hanging on to firecrackers again?
Well, you know, me and old Cooter from the radiator shop. You know Cooter.
No, I don't.
Well, we were out back firing off M80s, seeing how long we could hold them in our hands before we threw them into that big stack of tires. And I held one a little too long and lost another thumb.
Lost another thumb, so you have no thumbs now.
Well, I can now proudly say I'm the only man in Wise County who doesn't have even one opposable thumb. Woo-hoo, I am country!
What else is going on?
Well, Hammer, you know I hate to bother you.
Yeah?
But old Doc Morgan found something else wrong with me, and it appears I have what they call extreme advanced kidney failure.
Really?
Yeah, he said it was brought on by the abuse of perlite and, of course, my frequenting of local crank labs out here. And, I hate to ask you, but could you bum me a kidney?
No, I will not loan you a kidney, Elmer Wayne.
The doc says you may match up, and I swear, I tell you what, if you give me a kidney, I'll get you a good deal on a break job.
So I'm going to give you a kidney, and you're going to get me a break job.
Hell, I tell you what, I even saw a good set of golf clubs over there at Bubba's Pawn Shop. I'll throw that in to sweeten the deal.
No deal. I'm going to keep my kidneys, and you're going to die.
All right, hold on a second. Hey, you kids, close that door. Ever since that lawnmower's been broken, them grass snakes been getting in here and climbing in the baby's crib. All right, sorry about that. Hey, say, boys, we're having an Independence Day picnic out here. Got some possum on the grill, and we're all taking turns on the three-wheeler. If you and your partner want to head out here, we'll celebrate together.
No, I think we're going to stay here.
All right, fair enough. And, hey,
change your mind on that kidney thing, you go ahead and give old Wayne a call, okay?
Okay, you'll be the first to know.
All right, I got to get going. One of the kids just stepped on a rusty nail, which makes me question that decision to save on tetanus shots last year. So I'll see you boys in a little bit.
All right, Elmer Wayne.
All right, Elmer.
All right, that's Grego's cousin.
You know, I don't know how this started. I do. Remember it, Gordon?
Yeah, I remember. We were at Mohawk Music across the street.
That's right. We had been to lunch, and we decided to wander up to Mohawk Music, just knock around a little bit. And Mohawk Music, as it turns out, is sort of an avant-garde alternative.
No, it's freak music. It's absolute freak music with freak names, and now it's coming back to me. It's crystal clear. It's why that if you got to have a good name before you can have a good band.
So I start scouring all the CDs, and I just start pestering you with the Chainsaw Kittens, I remember was the first one I held up, and then the second one was
Faster Pussycat.
Well, there was also a worse one, I don't know if I can say it. Y'all remember Armageddon Dildos was one that particularly offended you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I remember, I liked that one.
bad
name for a band.
You think that's a bad name?
Now, that's what we're going to do here. You got a list there, don't you?
Yeah, I got a huge list of names right here, but I'm only going to read a few to you.
Okay.
I tried to pick out ones that I thought you might like.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Urge Overkill.
No, that's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Why is that bad?
It makes no sense. Urge Overkill. Well, what does that mean? I mean, there's a subject-verb disagreement somewhere in there. I just don't know where.
Faster Pussycat.
Now, I kind of like that.
I knew you'd kind of like that. I knew you'd kind of like that one. Porno for Pyros.
No. You should never mix porno, you know, which is good, and and pyro, which is fire, which is bad. I mean, you don't want to fire any pornos.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
No, absolutely. Relax. That's no good.
You don't like the song Relax?
No. That guy, that's who Doogie looks like with his new haircut.
The guy from Frankie Goes to
Hollywood. Fruitcake that sings for Frankie in Hollywood.
Frankie in Hollywood. He's already metamorphosed. Okay, Grim Reaper.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Now, why that?
I don't know. It's kind of got a manly, forceful, you know, getting down in the dirt. Yeah, I like Grim Reaper.
Pop Will Eat Itself.
Why, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Why not?
Well, because it makes no sense.
It's a clever name, isn't it?
What is it again?
Pop Will Eat Itself.
No. I mean, you're talking about your dad eating himself? I mean, you're talking about, you know, poppers, the old amyl nitrate stuff? I mean, what are you talking about?
Oh, God. Okay, Travis Tritt. I threw that in as a control.
Great. I love that.
You think it's a great name?
Yeah.
Oh. Lords of Acid.
Lords of Acid. I mean, let me see. No, I probably couldn't do that.
Let me reflect on that.
I probably couldn't go for Lords of Acid.
MC 900 Foot Jesus.
No, nothing with Jesus in it makes it. No, that's sack. That's sacrilegious. No, absolutely not.
Okay, here's one you may like. Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Toad the Wet Sprocket. Let's break that down and diagram that sentence. Toad, a frog. Wet, which they are. Sprocket has absolutely nothing to do. That's what you got. That's what you have on a bicycle or a motorcycle. So you've got a wet frog on a motorcycle, Sprocket. He's going to get chewed up. No, absolutely not.
I think you analyze the names too much. Johnny Hates Jazz.
No, absolutely not. That's a sentence. That's not a band.
Circle Jerks.
Well, yeah, I kind of... That's not bad.
Ace of Base.
Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Don't they spell it B-A-S-E?
Yeah.
See, that's ridiculous. Because bass is like a musical term. B-A-S-S. Bass. Right?
Bass.
No, it's bass.
I had a brother who played the bass guitar.
Cheap Trick.
Yeah, I like Cheap Trick. That's a good one.
See, Rhymes, I think he's going by if he likes the music.
That's not true. I've always liked that band Cheap
Trick. I don't think he's heard of most of this.
Yeah, I know. Grateful Dead.
No, absolutely not.
You don't like that name?
You're never. Why are you grateful if you're dead? You're dead. You're nothing. You're gone. How can you be grateful?
Brutal Juice.
What is Brutal Juice? All that is a blatant ripoff of a bad movie called Beetlejuice.
Kentucky Headhunters.
I love Kentucky
Headhunters. See, because you like their music.
Nope, it means a lot. I mean, there are a lot of hillbillies in Kentucky. And I mean, you know, did you ever see Deliverance?
Yeah.
There are a lot of hillbillies, and they'll hunt your head down. Very good.
I don't think that's what they were hunting on that bait. No, no. Trout fishing in America.
Well, absolutely not. Trout fishing in America. Now, I mean, what does that mean?
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Does that even dignify Snoop Doggy Dog? And wasn't the name of his like album Doggy Style?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Alice in Chains.
Yeah, I kind of like
that. See, Alice. I knew you'd kind of like that one.
Because, see, that reminds me of, like, Alice Cooper, one of the greatest names of a band ever, Alice Cooper.
That's the greatest name of a band ever?
One of them. A great name. Great name. And see, Alice in Chains, that's pretty good. Once again, manly, you know, kind of got that prison vibe, penitentiary vibe to it.
Sweethearts of the Rodeo.
No, absolutely not.
Hey, look at there.
I mean, what they're doing, I mean, their rodeo is a rugged sport, and there's no sweethearts of it, okay? It's rugged men and leather and, you know, horses and animals and hide and stuff like that. There's no sweethearts.
Men without hats.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's real good. Men without hat. What's that song? That Safety Dance.
Safety Dance.
Yeah, and then they're out of here. I mean, they're cooking at Burger King somewhere.
Husker Du.
No, I don't. Anything I can't spell.
Crash Test Dummies.
No, absolutely not. No.
Megadeth.
See, my first reaction would say no.
Uh-huh.
On Megadeth. No, no, no. But if you think about it, it's kind of cool. Kind of romantic.
God.
Judas
you
Priest.
You see, that,
no,
that,
no, once again, I don't
that
I like
thread
Judas.
Of logic, that congruent thread that
it's
most people string things together with, it's just not happening.
See,
here.
I don't like anything where they make fun of religion. And Judas Priest, they're kind of doing that. Black Sabbath, it's kind of making fun of religion.
Spandau Ballet.
That's got an interesting ring to it.
That makes no sense.
Well, yeah, it kind of does.
God. Why?
Well, it's like a ballet, and I always thought it was spandex ballet. It's Spandau?
We were down there in Port Charlotte after the strike last year, and Grego and I were in the Ranger Clubhouse. We were waiting to do some interviews, and we're just sort of hanging out in there, standing together. Grego leaves to walk over into a gaggle of players, and it looks like he's going to talk to Will Clark. A couple of minutes later, I started to head over that way, but I sensed something going on over there. And as I approached, I saw that things were not going really smooth between those boys.
Between Grego and Will Clark.
Between Grego and Will Clark, yes.
Do you sometimes say things before you should?
Well, do you?
Being an emotional type
do
of
you?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's pretty good then. It's a good assumption.
So you do?
Yes. You also do, too, with that Cal Ripken statement, don't you?
We're not talking about Cal Ripken right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I just figure if you're going to ask me a question about something that I said, I might as well ask you a question about something you said. See if you dance around it pretty good.
What would you...
I'm just asking. I'm asking, did you mean what you said?
No, I did not.
Okay. See?
But
were you stirring up controversy?
Maybe.
Yes, probably. Probably, because that's your job, right?
No,
probably.
No, my job is not to stir up controversy.
Come on, Greg.
It's not.
Come on.
It's not to stir up controversy. I mean, is
Greg, come on. We know better than that.
Is your job to play baseball?
We know better than that, Greg, because your emotions during the whole situation were bouncing back and forth.
No, they never bounced back and forth. That was from the players from day one. And if you listened to anything, you would know that.
Well, I did listen. Don't give me I didn't listen.
Well, then
all right.
You'd know and you wouldn't make a statement like
okay,
that.
Okay, because if you were from the player's standpoint, why'd you jump all over Dean Palmer?
I don't remember that, jumping all over Dean Palmer.
It's easy if you forget, don't it?
Favorite character that's been on our show? I like Microphone Johnson quite a bit. A lot of people have responded to Microphone Johnson. He's struck a chord in a lot of people out there. I think he's a guy that they can relate to. I also like Crunch McCormick. The fitness guy.
Right.
The fitness and nutritional products guy who comes in to visit from time to time and always brings in products like bowel enchantment.
Urine enhancer.
Uh-huh. Nipple extender.
Yeah, I was just in the gym, really pumping up my pecs, you know,
mm-hmm.
pumping them up to all hell, and I was my head was just spinning on metal crank, you know, and I was sitting there listening to your show, and I hear you talking about that hoax DNA pin. Oh, the DNA? Yeah, the DNA pin. That is not the real deal. I can tell you right now, I have the real deal, and it is not a DNA pin. If you want to get close to some of your favorite athletic stars and have a memento that's really personal, all right, you cannot do any better than Crunch McCormick's transparent urine-filled sports figurines. Patent pending, of course. Patent pending. There's no way to get closer to your favorite athletic star than my personal sports figurines.
Now, what is this, Crunch?
Well, let's, for example, if you want a souvenir from, say, the great outside linebacker Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
All right?
Yeah, yeah.
How much better can you do than a crystal figurine of the man filled with his own urine, complete with chunks of pure cocaine floating in it? Very personal indeed. Anybody here interested?
Yeah,
For example, Reimer, who's your favorite football star of all time?
The great Johnny Unitas.
Johnny Unitas. See, you're just in luck, because I have tons of Johnny Unitas urine-filled figurines. Now that Johnny's gotten a little older and more incontinent, he has just flooded the market with these figurines, so to speak. Pardon the pun there. I have tons of Johnny Unitas. Sell for $1,200 a piece.
I'll take three.
Now, three Johnny Unitas urine-filled figurines.
They're just filled with urine, nothing else?
They're filled with urine, the essence of the man. You don't want to get blood. Listen, these athletes, they don't want to get blood and DNA out there because, hey, that does nothing but look what happened to O.J., okay? Somebody could have gone around with some red ink pen with his DNA in it. That may not even be blood on that scene, right?
Right.
It could be the ink pen.
Right.
Well, with urine, all it does is looks like you took a piss somewhere if someone tries to plant it on a scene of a crime or something, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's why these are so popular. This is the real deal. Free Johnny Unitas, go on your way. God bless that incontinent old man, Johnny U, for giving me these items. I tell you what, hey, how are you guys' nutrition products doing?
I'm getting a little low.
It looks like it's about time for you to reinvest in yourself.
Do you have anything else, any new products?
Well, maybe? Of course, I have you guys on, Mental Crank, Urine Enhancer, and the Belly Squelch, right?
Right.
Well,
and I'm on Bowel Enchantment.
You're on, Well, we had to recall the bowel enchantment because it promoted severe polyp growth and the dissolving of the duodenum. So we had to recall that. But I have something else here that is just as good. It's called Intestinal Grunt. Intestinal Grunt. It's a product that really helps you clean out the hard-to-reach areas. That'd be good for you, Reimer. Tell you what, I got something else here. Hammer, let me ask you this. Cardiac arrest.
Right, yeah.
All right, cardiac arrest.
Not looking forward to it.
No. This is a product, cardiac arrest. It speeds up your metabolism almost to the breaking point, okay? As a matter of fact, it turns your blood into a substance similar to methamphetamines.
Really?
Yes. But, your heartbeat jumps up there in that 300 beat per minute range.
Isn't that dangerous?
It's dangerous. You do risk death, but, boy, you can really feel it working.
Boy, it sounds great.
Man, I don't know. Cardiac arrest.
That'd be great for you, Willem. William, let me throw this one by you, okay? This is for men only. This is a new product. Nipple distender. Nipple distender. It extends your nipples to a performance degree. It's great for pool parties. You know, men are notorious for breastfeeding. This just gives you something to hit at. What do you say, William?
I guess, yeah. I'm in. What's it called again?
Nipple distender.
Nipple distender.
$500 an ounce, but boy, it really works. You can see the results.
I'll take that. I'll take some of that.
Some nipple distender, Johnny Unitas urine-filled figurine.
Am I going to have to wear, like, Band-Aids, though, or anything like that?
Yeah, if you go to church, you might want to, okay? Don't turn on the rest of the parishioners, all right? Hey, listen, guys, I got to get out of here. I got to go inject my knees with a new substance called Knee Engager. It's very developmental right now. It's pretty much simply just a syringe filled with window cleaner, but I'm going to inject it. If it has any effect, I'm going to package it and market it.
All right, Crunch.
All right, guys. God bless. Get out of here.
One day there was a bunch of stuff in the last 30 minutes of our show, and we left some people hanging for a long time. And so when we came back from break, Reiner always brings us back. I said, hey, look, we're going to get to every one of you guys. You've all got a minute, so let's go right now. And then he punched up the first one. And he went through, and I'm thinking, this is kind of neat, you know. I wonder if we could do that every day. Just get as many callers as we can in something. Of course, you know, you got to come up with a cheesy name and two-minute drill. That's that cheesy
packaging.
It's that cheesy play on words. And so we just came up with that, and then Michael Maroney, our promotions director, is the one that came up with all the ground rules. I think that you must start everything and, you know, all the other little stuff. You got 30 seconds, but believe me, if you get 10 seconds, you're
doing pretty good.
All right, are we ready?
Right. Ah, bait me.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I'm wondering if...
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that the hard line is... Am I on?
Not
you're on
now,
the two-minute drill. Go.
Hello?
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that Grego should get on Reiner's back to get some good Hunt James on the hard line.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think Dick Hantak should be an NFL referee like the Hammer Williams should be a talent scout for that queer brigade at San Francisco.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that Gordon sucks and the great game starts Friday. Baseball sucks.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that Dunham and Miller rule and Scott Murray suck.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go. You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to take the Stanley Cup this year. Go, Pittsburgh!
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that I see OJ in court tomorrow. Looky here.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that we need Tom Landry, Bobby Valentine, and Quinn Bunker back.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go. You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think about it. About damn Cowboys.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go. You're on the two-minute drill. Go. You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
How you doing?
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think Dunham Miller rule.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that Eddie Van Halen is the absolute best.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that our linebackers should be able to take off their quarterback one-on-one.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that Craig Miller's a spare.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think the hardliners hope that people from Buffalo don't call in no more.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
Me ponder thusly that...
No, he's not. He did say
that. You're on the two-minute drill. Go. You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that me being a first-time caller, I deserve a hello there.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
Hello. I think...
No.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that after seeing Donovan Miller's picture the other day in the paper, they should be renamed Dexter and Lester.
You're on the two-minute drill. You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think y'all are peckerheads.
There we go.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that the hardline is very entertaining no matter what they talk about, and this time I didn't say, am I on?
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think Howard Stern rules.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think that the ticket needs more bass fishing shows.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think the people from Buffalo are the best, and get used to it.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think the hardliners roll, and people should learn how to do the two-minute drill.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go.
I think Shaquille O'Neal is the Antichrist.
You're on the two-minute drill. Go. You got the last
There's
word.
There's no way Hammer could drag his large butt ashore.
All right. Very nice. Very
that was
nice.
A good one.
Okay, what do you think's the best part of y'all's show?
The sign-off. We get the hell out.
You guys stay hard, you keep jamming, and I'll see ya.
The hard line. The hard line. The hard line. The hard line.
Bunch of media people. Jack Lindstrom was there, and some other people from Channel 8 was there.
In Windsor, Canada.
Yeah. Tim Matthews was there, John Rattigan. I don't know if I need to be giving everybody's names. But anyway, Windsor, Canada, right across the river from Detroit. I mean, it's like crossing the Trinity and you're in Grand Prairie. Well, you cross the Detroit River and you're in Canada. Well, they have these super, super strip joints. Total nude. I mean, they're get down places. So we go over there and eat, and we're down there, and we'd gone into two or three of them, and we're in this one, and we're sitting at this table, all us media people from Dallas, and somebody started, like, barking like a dog. When the girls get out there, they just go, hoo, 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 just start barking. And so pretty soon, they knew we were rowdy. They knew we were Americans, so they came over there, and one of the managers said, "You guys are going to have to leave." I said, "Yeah, what for?" He said, "Well, because you're barking and you're demeaning the girls." Well, I mean, these girls are up there totally nude, just bending over, you know, bending over. And
that's gynecology 101.
Yeah.
You know?
And so he goes, "You guys are going to have to leave because you're barking, and that's demeaning the girls. I'd had a few beers again. I said, look, pal.
Miller Lights, no doubt.
Miller Lights, yeah. I said, look, pal. See that girl over there? She just bent over and showed me her asshole. I don't want you to tell me anything about demeaning.